The verse this morning was given to me by Kay Bedford. She says it's a verse that she thinks about almost every day. I believe that's what she said, and quotes, goes back to. It's also a verse that goes way back, as I said, in my life. One of the first verses I probably ever learned. Not the first, but one of the first. I always liked verses like this because they were short. And they were easier to learn. I learned verses for various reasons. It used to be in Sunday school, we were supposed to learn verses. We were given memory verses every week, and we were supposed to learn them. When I got a little bit older, and it was time for me to go to Bible camp as a camper, one of the ways that we could pay our way to camp, and this was a long time ago, okay? It cost me $10 to go to Bible camp back then. And the church provided a way to earn that by learning memory verses. And you got 10 cents a verse. That's 100 verses to earn your way to camp. Okay, I did that some. Maybe, I don't know how long I did that, but I did that. I learned verses. I got into Bible college, we still had to learn verses. And then even later on in ministry here, some of us got involved in Bible Memory Association, and it's been a while since we've done that. Nan was big in it, and Joni and I, and some of the kids, Katie, Lila, probably some others too. I don't want to miss anybody, but my mind is only so big. But anyway, still learning verses. I haven't done that a lot lately. That's probably not a good thing. It's not that I can't, but I've gotten lazy, I guess. But it's great to have those verses, many of them still hidden in my heart. This verse is short, somewhat simple, and yet I struggled with how to handle it homiletically. You know, how to put it in a sermon, what to do with it, how to handle it. It is, in many respects, very simple, but in another respect, as I dove into it, maybe I can get a little bit deeper. My quest was maybe to think a little deeper than we might normally think about this verse. So, as I thought about it, about this verse in light of God, and I started to begin to think about it in light of who God is. Remember, I have often referred back to the fact that as we see God more clearly, it sheds more light upon us and who we are and how we relate to Him and how we are to live our lives. But first, seeing God is an important aspect of our understanding of life and how life should be lived. There's something, and maybe many things about God here, but something in particular about Him that as I began to think that I wish to bring forward to discuss for just a few moments. And it isn't that this verse actually states anything in particular what I'm going to be talking about, but the principle behind who God is in this relationship is very essential, I believe, to the working out of this verse in our lives. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what I wish to discuss for a moment, it's a word that I can't always say, and it's not one that you will always see in the theological realm, maybe. I'm not sure. I guess I don't think of it in that term. But it is the term specificity. Oh, I like words like that. And it's easy to understand if you just think about what it is, right? Being specific. God is very specific. It's a part of His character. It's who He is and how He manifests Himself within our life. Let me remind you of a few things that we see in God, and we see this as being true. Creation. We have very specific understanding of creation, even though it is being challenged even in the church today. I believe that we have a very specific understanding of creation, that God created and He did it very specifically. He did it in order, all for a reason and all for a purpose that we might not even understand completely, but at least it very specifically did it. And He created not only the heavens and the earth and all of the systems and everything very specifically, but He created them in a very specific way. And He created the animal life, all the living creatures, both all the way from single cells to up to you and me, to human life. And He created them very specifically. And He created them differently. And He created them male and female, and all that's involved in all of that. Very specific in how He did that. He, in time then, gave the command for Noah to build an ark. You know what? He gave specific dimensions. And our Bible doesn't give us a lot of detail about it, but having been to man's idea of what the ark may have been, at Answers in Genesis, I believe, probably, even though it's not written, that God gave him a lot of other very specific details of how to build that. I mean, this thing is amazing, and the size of it, and all it was going to do. You know, after all, Noah was probably the very first shipbuilder. Probably hadn't been done before, at least to that size. Not that there wasn't water before this, but it doesn't say, but I'm guessing that this might have been the first ship of this size ever built. What did he have to go by? Well, he may have been a very talented man. He may have known basic, but in my mind, I can see God whispering in his ear and telling him, this is how you do that. This is the specific measurements for this. And this is how it has to be done. And how are you going to get them big, way up high? I'll tell you how to do that. I can even see God lifting the timbers up. I don't know. I'm going off now. But I believe there was a lot of specificity involved in the building of the ark. The law. Very specific, is it not? God gave the law to the children of Israel and said, these are the things that you are to obey. And they're not generalities. They're very specific. This is what you are to do. And starting with the 10, and then all of the other laws that God gave to the nation of Israel beyond the 10, social, relational, religious, ceremonial, all the different laws and the details that sometimes existed within the laws given to the children of Israel. Go back and spend some time in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, some of those books back there that God gives to the children of Israel, very specific guidelines to his laws, very specific detail. The feast and the ceremonies that even that came about throughout the history of Israel, and the celebration, the sacrifices, all of those things, and God dealing with each individual person very specifically many, many times throughout the Old Testament. And then we get to the New Testament. Salvation. Is that not one that we would think about first and foremost? There's very specific details about the birth of Christ, where he was to be born, what family he was to be born, all those kind of details, very specific as well. But then salvation itself. One way to God. It's not up for a flip a coin. It's not, well, you know, your way might work. Sometimes it might work. No. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. It was very specific. Salvation must come through Christ and through Christ alone. And although we as individuals and the New Testament church and now us today are one in Christ and we are together in the body of Christ in the universal church that God has created and is building, we are also very unique and very specific in who we are. I hope and pray that there's nobody just like me. Have you ever thought that? Can't be another one, can there? We say, well, God broke the mold when he made me. We joke about that. But is it not true that we are all different in some form, in some way? You know, through the years, I've thought about, you know, they say that there's no two snowflakes alike. How can that be? All the snowflakes that fall to the ground, how can there not be? But I fail to think about in terms of humanity. There are no two people identically alike. Even if you were to clone, I don't know this, I'm not a scientist, and I'm not into that. And I don't want to even go there. But I would bet that there would be some very specific details in each individual. And although we are in Christ in one body, He gives to us differently. He gifts us differently. There are spiritual gifts, and yes, there's only so many, and yes, we do share them. But how they are used and how they are used in our lives, very specifically in the lives of other people, vary. And they're very different. And many times, if not all the time, very specific in how that is done. He created you one of a kind because he is a God, dare I say, who is very specific. I literally can go on and on with this, but now let's go to the verse with this at least in the back of our minds. Do you think that this literally means anything and everything? Okay? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Does that mean that anything that I want to do, that I can do, that Christ will give me the power to do whatever I want to do, whatever I choose to do? Well, I believe with God, and I've used this in other senses, I've used this this terminology in relationship to experience. I've always said to people that as long as it isn't illegal or immoral, experience can benefit you. Any experience that you get can benefit you. Well, I'm going to use that here. With God, as long as it's not illegal or immoral, the potential is there that God will strengthen you to do what you want to do. Okay? The potential is there. But does it mean that whatever you want to do, God will help you do it? And I think most of us would realize that that may not be true. That sometimes we are selfish, sometimes we are self-centered, sometimes that we focus in on things that are not spiritual, Sometimes we just want to do it our way, the way that we want to do it. And we don't see the big picture. We focus in on little things that may satisfy us and not the big picture of what's involved in the very specific things of God within our lives. It is the old infamous question, does God give us a blank check? And most of us would understand that that does not happen. That God is not going to strengthen us to do everything that we want to do just because we want to do it or we choose to do it. Most of you will agree with me that that's not what's meant here. But back to the specifics. God created you one of a kind, and He gifted you and made a plan for you. Let me put that inside a capsule. That capsule is your salvation, your faith in Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. Well, it even starts before that at creation, but God, when He created you, God knew even before He created you your response to Jesus Christ and your faith, whether it be faith in Christ, saving faith that bring you to an understanding of salvation through Jesus or not. He knew that. And knowing that who you would be, He created you very specifically. And now as a believer, that's the capsule we're in, as a believer, God created you and made you very specifically and made a plan for you in your life to be involved with Him and who He is and to serve Him as only a follower of Jesus Christ can. He is not waiting for you to make up your mind what you should do with the rest of your life. How many of you are still trying to decide what you're going to do with the rest of your life, right? That's most of us, maybe at times at least. God doesn't have that problem with us. He says, I know what I have for you. I know what's in store for you. I've created the days that you're going to live, and I've created the setting in which you're going to live them out. I've given you the gift that you are able to serve me and to accomplish specifically what I have chosen for you to accomplish upon the face of this earth. Now, some of you are probably saying, what's he talking about? And others are saying, yeah, I never quite thought of it in that way before. And others are saying, what is he talking about? Be patient, and some of you, just think about this. God has put you here for a reason, in a place. You know, it's not even happenstance that you're here today. God decided that. God made that choice in your life, even though you chose it as well. He already knows your life and what it's about, and what He wants to do in your life. Many things will be involved in this process. Some exciting, some challenging, some fun. Sometimes I wonder what fun is anymore. Life has gotten so serious, it seems. But there are fun times. Trust me, there are. Some of those times are hard. Oh, so hard. Some of them will tear you almost apart. Many of you have been through those or may even be right now. Turning your life upside down. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why, Pastor? Because of what God says next. He is with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, they protect me. They take me to where you want me to be, even in the midst of the most low points of my life. Even when it looks as though I may die, that I'm on death's door, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, as long as I'm in your will and doing what you want me to do and pursuing. And sometimes I don't even think he has to have our permission in this. I think he'll just do it anyway. Take us to where he wants to take us, and to empower us to do what he wants to do within our lives. Paul was thinking of what he had done in his life, and the experiences that he had went through, and some of them very dramatic experiences. When he had been left for dead, he'd walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he'd been in shipwreck, he'd been bitten by venomous snakes, he'd been robbed, he'd been beaten, he'd been stoned, yet I can do whatever God wants me to do, because he's the one who gives me the strength to do it. He is the one who strengthens me. It's a part of taking me where you want me to go, to do what you want me to do, be what you want me to be. Even in difficult times, they can be the hardest things to go through, but you will take me through them. Even in some of the most undifficult times, you realize, if you stop to think about this, and I'm not going to spend time here, but some of the hardest times spiritually in our lives is when things are going too well. Too well, is that a good way to think of things? Sometimes when things are going very smoothly, we become complacent and we really do then lose focus on where God wants us to be. Those may be the times that God strengthens us as well, and all of that that goes with that. The Greek word here for strengthen means to put power in. God infuses his power in us to do and to accomplish, with this in mind, that there's a specific end that God wants to accomplish within our lives. We may never know what that is specifically, and it may be almost a moving target, but it's always God knows exactly what each twist and turn is going to do and where it's going to take us and why it has to be there. Dr. McGee, those of you who are familiar with J. Vernon McGee, through the Bible in 5 years, still on the radio, even though he's been dead for 10 years or at least, I don't know, maybe longer than that. When you get started and you record it, you can just keep playing it over and over again. You don't have to be there. He gives this illustration, and I'm going to read it. Let me give you an illustration. My favorite mode of travel is by train. I fly only because I must. The train has lots more romance connected with it, and it's much more enjoyable. It gets you there later, but it gets you there. The Santa Fe Railroad used to have a train called the Super Chief, which ran between Los Angeles and Chicago. That was a wonderful train, and I enjoyed traveling on it. I traveled with tremendous power. The Super Chief could say, I can do all things a super chief is supposed to do on the tracks between Chicago and Los Angeles. I can pull up the Cajon Pass, the highest pass for any railroad in this country. I slow down a little bit, but I do not hesitate. I go right up to the top and down the other side. I can do all things. Now suppose the super chief had said, For years I've been taking people back and forth from Chicago to Los Angeles, Los Angeles to Chicago. And it gets a little monotonous. I noticed a little group of people got off at Williams, Arizona, to go to the Grand Canyon. I've been coming by here for years, and you know what? I've never seen Grand Canyon. I think I'll just take off across the desert here and look at the canyon for myself. Now, I don't know what the train actually ever said that. Yeah, well, okay, he didn't, but okay. But I do know that it left the tracks one day over the side towards the Grand Canyon. In other words, it was derailed. I'm here to tell you that it never made it to the Grand Canyon. The minute it left the tracks, it was a wreck. The train was helpless and hopeless the moment it left the tracks. As long as the super chief was on the tracks, as long as it was doing the thing it was supposed to do, it could do all the things a super chief should do. It could go up and down and over the mountains, back and forth from Chicago to Los Angeles. But it was absolutely helpless when it left the tracks. Kind of a good illustration, maybe some gaps there, but pretty good. As long as it was meant to run from L.A. to Chicago, the Santa Fe Railroad maintained it and kept it going, and kept the tracks up, and kept them going, and made that trip back and forth, back and forth. Even when it derailed, they didn't go in and build a new railroad to the Grand Canyon so the super chief could go look at the Grand Canyon. I assume that they repaired the railroad, put the train back on the track, and did all the repairs that was necessary to the super chief to get it going again for its intended purpose. It had a purpose that had been given to it by the Santa Fe Railroad. They fixed the damage and got it going for its intended purpose. If the super chief understood, he would know that this was ultimately for his well-being. That's how he had been designed. That's what he had been designed for by its creator. You may, in your life, derail. Many of us have. We've gotten off the track. It's been a horrible wreck. We've lost focus of what we were intended to do, what God wanted for us. But understand, God will not leave you helpless and hopeless. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He will continue every day to infuse his strength in you, to take you where he wants you to be. He will do that in each of our lives. And as we think of this verse, implant that in our very most inner being, that he will do what he needs to do to strengthen us, because he has for us a specific area of life to minister and to serve him in. We need to allow him to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these moments to share and to be together, and for the truth of this verse, the reminder. It really isn't a lot different from the Old Testament last week. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle fought the battle. The Lord fought the battle for the children of Israel. He fights the battle for us, gives us the strength, and he has an intended purpose, at least in most cases, very specific, and probably in every case, a specific purpose for us to fulfill within this life. He strengthens us. You strengthen us to do those. So Father, we thank you and pray that in our lives that we would continue to be aware and to allow you and your strength to flow through us. In Jesus' name, amen.